As for the message tonight, let's take our Bible and turn to Proverbs chapter number 1. Proverbs 1, verses 1 to 6. Verse 5, of course, is the verse that we just recited together. And that is part of the message this evening. Entitled the message tonight, Do You Know More Than Before? I thought maybe we should call it Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader? But we went away from that one. And just Do You Know More Than Before? As we continue with our theme of increase, we come to look at this matter of increasing in learning tonight. And I believe it's an area where many believers lack. Many of us think that when we're done school, done, don't have to learn anymore, and I don't have to study or anything like that. Or maybe we think, you know, I'm done college, I've been to university, I've got my degree, and that's all good, and that's in the past, and now I don't have to learn anything more again. Even think about it in the Christian realm, sometimes we say, well, you know, I'm an adult now. Learning is for Sunday school and kids club and youth and that, but now I'm an adult and I know lots of things and I don't need to learn anymore. We sometimes have the idea that Bible college is only for young people and that Bible study is for young believers, and once we, you know, get a little bit more mature, we pretty much know everything there is to know and we just carry on our way. But not according to our text tonight. Bible says here that we should increase in learning. And so again, the title of the message is, Do You Know More Than Before? We could put it this way, how much more do you know now than you did when you became a Christian? Or how much more do you know now than you did a year ago? Or 6 months ago? Or 2 years ago? I'm just saying, are we increasing in our knowledge of God and of the Bible? You say, well, you know, I've been saved for a long time and I don't need to increase anymore. Well, does that mean you know everything there is to know? Probably not. I know I don't. And so therefore, we ought to have a desire to be increasing in our learning and increasing more in our knowledge of the Lord. So Proverbs 1, verse number 1, the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment, and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels, to understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. Verse 5, again, I draw your attention to that verse for our verse for this month. A wise man will hear and will increase learning. Do you know more than you did before? Let's pray together. Thank you, Lord, that we can study the Bible together tonight. And thank you that you've given us a book that is so rich and so full. And Lord, we know that there are many things that are easy to be understood in the Bible. And those things we tend to pick up on quite quickly. Thank you for the simplicity of salvation. Lord, it's not complicated for us to believe and be saved. It's very easy. And so, Lord, for that, we're very thankful tonight. And yet, we realize that as we dig into your word, there is much more to know and to learn and to study if we'll take time to do it. And I pray that as Christians tonight that we would be challenged with this thought, Lord, that we would not be content with the amount of knowledge that we have, but that we would desire to know more, not just for knowledge's sake, but, Lord, to help us in our walk with you, to draw us closer to you, Lord, to appreciate you more and love you more, and also to be a help to other people as we would have opportunity to speak to them about you. And so, Lord, I pray this time would be profitable for us tonight and that you'd be honored and glorified in all that is said and done. For we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Notice that we begin in verse number 5, and the first three words are a wise man. A wise man. This is speaking about a wise man. Who decides who is wise? Who decides who is foolish? Well, we see in verse number 1, as we've read it, that this was written by somebody who should know. Humanly speaking, the one who wrote these words that we just read tonight, we know that, of course, they were inspired of God, but humanly speaking, the man who wrote them was the wisest man who ever lived, apart from the Lord Jesus Christ himself. His name is mentioned there, Solomon. We know Solomon was a very wise man. Solomon's wisdom was great. That's not what he said about himself, but that's what God said about Solomon, that he was the wisest man. And God would make him and did make him the wisest man that ever lived. Now, we know that he made some big mistakes. He wasn't perfect. We would wonder sometimes why he didn't employ his own wisdom in his own life, because 300 wives is not wise, and 700 concubines is even less wise. So we know that he wasn't a perfect man, but he was endued with great wisdom. His wisdom was extraordinary, and it came as a result of God asking him what he wanted. We find that recorded for us in 1 Kings chapter 3, and we'll not take the time to read it tonight. But 1 Kings 3, verses 5 to 15, the Bible says that the Lord appeared to Solomon by night in a dream and said, "Ask of me what you will." Wow. What would you have said? Well, let me think. I need a new, and I like, and what did Solomon say? Solomon said, "Lord, I am just a young man." He said, "I'm a child." Now, he wasn't just like 5 years old or anything. He was a young man. But he said, "Lord, you've made me the king of a great nation, your people, and I'm going to need wisdom to lead your people." And God gave him that wisdom. And because of what he asked, God said, "I'm not going to just give you wisdom, Solomon, although I'm going to make you the wisest man, but I'm also going to give you fame and riches." So God rewarded him for the request that he made. But suffice it to say tonight that when Solomon wrote about a wise man in verse number 5, he knew who a wise man was. He knew what a wise man would be. If there's anyone who would know what wisdom was and what a wise man was, it would be Solomon. And so how does he define a wise man in verse number 5? It says, "A wise man will hear and will increase and learning." We'll get back to that in just a couple minutes. But what classifies a person as being wise? In Matthew 7:24, Jesus said, "Who is a wise man? I will tell you who a wise man is. It's the man who hears my sayings and does them. And I'll liken him to a wise man who built his house upon a rock." So we know that Jesus said, a wise man is one who listens to and acts upon the word of God. In James chapter 3, verse 13, it says, "Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom." So I believe we see in James 3 there that wisdom is not evidenced only in the knowledge that we have, but the way we conduct our lives. Because James is saying there that a wise man, if you say you're wise, show it with your life. A good conversation, that's not only your speech, but your manner of life, with his works, with meekness of wisdom. True wisdom is not the braggadocio saying, "Listen, you want to know smart? Look at me. I'm smart." God says that true wisdom is evidenced in the way we conduct our lives and the way we live our life. If you are wise, truly, you don't have to go around telling somebody or wear a shirt that says, "Wise guy here, wise man, wise guy." That's probably more appropriate if you think you're going to wear a shirt that says that. You don't have to say that. It will be evidenced in the way you conduct your life and the way you live your life. Proverbs 17:28 says, "A wise man is one who knows to be quiet." Look at that. There was just a few pages over there, so why don't we look at that one. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 28. We're seeing here that some of the terms that the Bible uses to describe those who are wise, or those who are considered to be a wise man. Jesus said it's those who hear his sayings and do them. James says it's those who demonstrate wisdom through their life. Proverbs 17:28 says, "An ungodly witness..." I'm in the wrong chapter. That's why it didn't make sense. The right reference is 17:28. "Even a fool, when he holdeth his peace, is counted," what? "Wise, and he that shutteth his lips is esteemed a man of understanding." And somebody has said, better to keep your mouth shut and be thought a fool than to open it and remove all doubt. But God says sometimes there are times when we just need to be quiet, and that is wisdom. It's wise to just be quiet sometimes. A fool, on the other hand, is known by the multitude of his words, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 5 and verse number 2. You see, the thing is, those who do too much speaking aren't doing much listening to find out what they could be learning. Right? Isn't that what the teacher always used to say in school? You have two ears and one mouth. That means you should be listening twice as much as you are talking. Some of us had a problem with that in school, didn't we? We talked out and we got sent out in the hallway or whatever else, disciplinary nature that took place. But a wise man sometimes is just known by their silence. But here in our text, back in Proverbs chapter 1, verse number 5, it says, a wise man will hear. I don't know about you, but I find that interesting. A wise man will hear and will increase in learning. A wise man is not defined here as someone with a certain amount of knowledge, but as somebody who is looking to learn. Now, you think that a wise man knows it all already. That's why he's called a wise man, so therefore he doesn't need to listen and learn. But no, the Bible says here, a wise man will hear. A wise man will listen. A truly wise man recognizes that he doesn't know everything yet. We may think that hearing, to listen, hear somebody out when they're teaching something, indicates a lack of wisdom. But according to what the Bible says here, it actually indicates wisdom. A wise man will hear. They will listen. Listen to what somebody else has to say. I'm sure you, like I, have met a few know-it-alls in your lifetime. You know the kind of people that you start to tell them and they top your story every time? They know somebody that's bigger and better. They know more information about you. You start to tell them about something. Oh, yeah, they just know everything about everything. Every topic that you hear somebody talk about before you hear them say, oh, yeah, well, I know, da-da-da-da-da. And they just know everything. At least in their own mind, they know everything. They tend to be annoying sometimes to be around somebody like that all the time because you just think, oh, here we go again. Maybe some of us have those kind of people in our families. In our circle of friends, you go, oh boy, why do we have to get them on this topic? Because here we go again. They know more than anybody else, tend to be full of themselves and don't think that anyone else knows much of anything. But the Bible says here, a wise man will hear. Someone willing to learn must be willing to hear what others have to say. And Solomon, inspired of God, says a wise man is somebody who is willing to hear. And then we get to the thought of really our theme verse. The reason we chose this verse is talking about increase here. And so we realize that a wise man is defined as one who will hear and will increase in learning. A person who is increasing in learning is wise, according to what God says here. But how do we do that? How do we increase in learning? Well, we've already mentioned it somewhat, and that is by hearing. If we don't take time to listen, if we don't take time to hear, then we're not going to increase in learning. We must be willing to hear. Look at verse 3. It says, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment, and equity. That means somebody is giving it. If there's receiving of it, that means there's giving of it, right? So a wise man will hear and will increase learning because he's going to take in what is being said and what is being given by other people by hearing. Look at chapter 9 of Proverbs, chapter 9 and verse number 9. There's lots of verses in Proverbs about wisdom, and there's lots of verses in Proverbs about listening and about teaching. And Proverbs chapter 9 and verse 9 says, give instruction to a wise man, and he will be yet wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning. Give instruction to a wise man. But a wise man shouldn't need instruction, should he? Well, yes, that's why he's wise, because he's receiving instruction. He's listening to the instruction of other people. Look at chapter 12 and verse number 1. Whoso loveth instruction loveth knowledge. But he that hateth reproof is brutish. Whoso loveth instruction loveth knowledge. So a wise man, somebody who wants to learn more, to know more, says, teach me. I want to learn. I want to learn more. I want to know more about these things. And so a wise man will hear and will increase in learning. It's increasing by our hearing. God desires to teach us Himself. And God says in Psalm 32:8, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. And God then puts people in our lives to do that very thing, doesn't He? To teach us. To teach us what we need to know. To guide us in our life. to teach us to do the things that we need to learn. We find it right from the beginning of the Bible. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Some of you are familiar with that portion of Scripture. What is it? It's God telling parents to teach their children. So basically God is saying to children, if you will be wise, you need to listen to your parents. I thought I'd hear a few amens from parents tonight about that one. But, you know, isn't it? It's true, isn't it? As parents, we want to teach our children so they will know things. We've learned things in our life that we realize will help them if they will listen to us. Some things we've learned by the school of hard knocks. And we say, I don't want my children to have to learn that way. I want to teach them so that they don't have to learn it the way I learned it, because that wasn't the best way to learn. And so they can learn from our experience. But children must be willing to hear and to learn. And how many times is it that we as children growing up, or our children say, I know, I know, I know. And then our parents said, okay. And then we went, uh-oh, now what do? I don't know how to do this. Right? Because we weren't willing to hear. We weren't willing to listen. We weren't willing to increase by hearing what our parents were telling us. The Bible says in Romans chapter 12 and verse number 7, there's not only parents that are responsible to teach, but it says, God's talking about different gifts that are given in Romans chapter 12, and it says, him that ministereth in his ministering, let him do his ministering, and him that teacheth on teaching. So we know that God has equipped some people to teach us. And if we would learn, then we have to realize that God has equipped some people to be teachers, and therefore we need to listen to them so that we can learn what God has given them to teach us. In Titus chapter 2 and verse number 4, the Bible says that the older women are to teach the younger women. And I believe later in the chapter it's not specified in the word teach necessarily, but the older men are to teach the younger men. It's that which has been learnt is passed on by teaching so that the younger ones can learn from that. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 12, the Bible talks about God has given some, and it says pastors and teachers. God has given teachers in the church to equip the church to be a place of learning, a place of growing, a place of increased wisdom. And so we realize that God uses different people in our lives to bring us to maturity, to teach us the things that we need to know. And many times we miss the opportunities to learn those things because we choose not to be in church, we choose not to listen to our parents, we choose not to listen to those who are teaching us, and so we miss out on learning the wisdom that we could be learning for our life. Doesn't the Great Commission itself command to go into all the world and to teach all things whatsoever the Lord has commanded? So the disciples were to teach what they had learned from the Lord Jesus Christ. They were to teach all those things to people so that people would know, so that their wisdom would increase, so that their knowledge would increase, so that they would become wise. And so we learn by hearing. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 2, the Bible says that the pastor, one of the qualifications of a pastor or bishop in the church is be apt to teach. And in Jeremiah 3:15, God says, and I will give you pastors according to my heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. That's a wonderful thing, isn't it? God says, I want to teach you, and this is the way that I've established, one of the ways I've established to do that is to give you pastors who will teach you what I want you to know. And so to increase in learning, we must hear those whom God has placed in our life. But we realize as well that part of learning is humility. Humility in learning. A few minutes ago, I said that sometimes children say, I know, when they really don't know. And I think we were all there. So don't look at all the children that are here that, you know, are still under their parents' rule, because I think we were all there in our time, weren't we? I know how to do it. I already know that. What was the real root of the problem? We were too proud to admit that we needed to learn and be taught something. So we said, I know. And so listening and learning takes humility. You have to admit that you don't know everything and say that I need somebody to help me to learn that. I need somebody to teach me that. I'm reminded of the Ethiopian man who was traveling along in his chariot, and when Philip, sent by the Holy Spirit, came up alongside him, he said to the man, "Understandest thou what thou readest?" He could have said, "Of course I do." But no, what did he say? "How can I accept some man should guide me? No, I don't understand this scripture. What's it speaking about? Is this man speaking about himself or some other man?" And Philip, used of God, was able to teach that Ethiopian man. Why? Because he was humble enough to say, "I don't understand it. Will you help me? Will you help me to understand that?" To learn from someone, you need to submit yourselves to that person. And Paul talks about that in 1 Corinthians 16, verses 15 and 16. He talks about some who were addicted to the ministry. See, there are some good addictions. They were addicted to the ministry, and he said he exhorted the Corinthian believers to submit to those who ministered to them in that way. Hebrews 13:17 says, "Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you." You won't learn from somebody if you don't recognize that they have something to teach you. And that takes humility. You say, "Well, I know as much as them. I'm older than them, or I've had more education than them. But no, God says, "I place some people in your life and you need to submit yourselves to their teaching so that you will learn. Because a wise man will hear and will increase in learning." And so it takes a hearing. And as we said this morning, it's the hearing as in listening, not just the, in this ear and out the other ear. It's listening to what God says and what people say that God puts in our lives to teach us. And then it's being willing to submit and being willing to learn from that. Remember what Jesus says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Jesus says, submit to me and learn from me. It takes humility. But I believe also that learning takes work. There are a lot of things in life that we learn. I think probably many of the things that we learn in the first 5 years of our lives, which they say is we learn more in the first 5 years of our life, really, than we learn in the whole rest of our life, just because everything is new. Talking, walking, eating, I mean, everything, right? There's so many things in that. We learn a lot of things, just life. We learn, especially at that age, we learn a lot of things. And yet, as parents, again, teaching children, that increases that. But some learning does just happen. We watch somebody do something and we say, okay. It doesn't take a lot of work necessarily. But there is some learning that takes work and it takes commitment to do it. 2 Timothy 2:15, and we referred to it Wednesday night, the Bible says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God." Study, that's a command. That's an imperative statement. Study. Do it. This is what you need to do, God says. The word for study has the thought of making effort, due diligence, and labor. It's not easy to study. Some of us know that, and we remember those days, perhaps, of studying in school and in university and colleges and things like that. It was like, oh, man, this is not easy. It's hard work to study. Now, some things take some serious work to learn. You know, we often quit learning something that we thought we would like to do because we thought that learning it would be fun. And then we realize, man, this is going to take more work to do this than I thought it was going to take. And we say, forget it. Right? Because we're not willing to invest the work into it. We see somebody else maybe play a musical instrument and we say, wow, that would be great. I'd like to do that. And then we realize that it takes week after week after week and practice and practice and practice to say, oh, this is not so much fun after all. I'm not willing to invest the time and work, and we quit. I'm sure that if you look on Kijiji, like I quite often look on Kijiji, you probably know that, but you look in the musical instrument section. There's often musical instruments say, you know, started learning it, haven't used it for years or whatever. Why? Because people buy instruments. There's pianos after pianos after pianos after keyboards sat in people's basements that have never been touched for years. Because somebody thought, I'm going to learn to do that. But then they realized, it's going to be work to do to learn. And they give up. And so with many, many other things. And so we quit learning something that we thought would be fun because it's too much like work. And notice chapter 2 of Proverbs. I'm talking about learning here, particularly as it relates to the Scriptures, of course. And in the first 6 verses of chapter 2, as we read the first 6 verses of chapter 1, look at chapter 2. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. Look at what the Bible says here. It says in verse 6, the Lord gives wisdom. Say, great, give me some. But do you notice what it says? If, there's an if statement in verse 1. If you receive his words, hide his commandments, incline your ear, apply your heart, cry after knowledge, lift up your voice for understanding, seek as silver, search for hid treasures, then the Lord says, I'll give it to you. That means it's going to take some work, doesn't it? We say, well, I want, the Lord says he's going to give me wisdom. And he says in James chapter 1, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, it giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But look at what God says about how he gives wisdom. He gives it to those who do what? Who incline their ears. Who prick up their ears to say, I want to learn. I want to listen. I want to know more. To apply their heart. Apply means to stretch or to spread out. It takes that discipline to say, I'm going to put my heart into this. I'm going to try. I want to know more. And therefore, I'm going to exercise myself to want more and to know about this. Cry after, he talks about in verse number 3. Crying after knowledge and lifting up our voice for understanding. Now, sometimes we may need to go to somebody and say, hey, listen, can you help me understand this? I'd like to know what this means. I really would. We say, well, you know what? Somebody may say, let's sit down and study this together. But you have to be willing to ask. You have to be willing to cry out and say, I want to know this. How often we struggle about, along our way, trying to figure something out by ourselves when we could ask and cry out after knowledge. And somebody may say, oh, sure, I'll explain that to you. But it takes that listening and that applying our heart, that asking for that wisdom, not only from God, but perhaps from somebody else. And then he says, if thou seekest as for silver, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures. Do you realize something about silver? It has to be mined. Now, unless somebody dropped their silver earring on the carpet as you walk along, you don't just see silver when you're just walking along and go, oh, silver, great, I wanted silver, I've got it. It takes work to get silver, doesn't it? Because it's an ore. It's underground. It sometimes, they say, included with other metals and alloys. You don't just find silver nuggets on the surface. You don't just, you know, go for a hike and say, oh, wow, there's a big chunk of silver. I wonder why nobody picked that up before. That's mine. No, if there's a silver mine, you have to dig down. You have to mine it out. And it's in bands. You have to look for it. And the people who know what they're looking for know to look in particular kinds of rock and particular formations. And they see, oh, look. There's a band of silver right there, and they say, oh, I want to dig that rock out, and I'm going to take that rock back, and I'm going to get that silver out of the rock. God says, if you want wisdom, if you want to increase your learning, seek it as you would seek silver. That doesn't mean you just trip over it and say, oh, wow, great, there it is. That means there's some work involved in doing it. A lot of people pass by, perhaps, silver, because it's in the rock in those veins, and they just didn't really take the time to look for it. I don't know about you, but I could probably be sent to a silver mine, and I could probably go down into the mine and walk around and go, I don't see any silver here. But if you really want to look for it and take the time to look, it would be there, because that's why they'd be mining for it in that place. It has to be extracted from that rock and in which the ore is found. It takes work to get it. Why do we think when God says we should ask for wisdom, and look for wisdom, why do we think that we're just going to be able to just go, nah, eeny, meeny, miny, moe, I'll look here, and there we go, and boom, you have great wisdom from the pages of the Word of God. No, God says, wisdom is here, but do you want it? You have to read for it. You're going to have to look for it. You're going to have to study for it. You have to dig into the Word of God and say, man, what is God saying here? And read the Word of God prayerfully and compare other scripture verses and say, oh man, that's what God is saying. That's, if you seek it as silver and search for it as for hid treasure. If you lost something valuable, you'd search diligently for it, like the shepherd who lost his sheep and the woman who lost the coin in Luke chapter 15. They searched diligently until they found it. If you thought there was some long-lost treasure, maybe you go on vacation to some island someplace and they say, hey, Blackbeard's treasure is buried here. Oh, give me a map. I'm going to find it. Well, it's not going to be on the surface because a few hundred thousand million tourists have come before you and they've looked for it already. If it's there, you're going to have to get a shovel and you're going to have to start digging and figuring out the coordinates of where it might be and start looking for it. It's probably not there anyways, or else somebody still would have found it a long time before you. But God's saying here, search for it as a hid treasure. It's going to take some work. It's going to take some dedication to do that. Think of the expense and work of people to find trade routes and travel the world to find fortune. I mean, you think back in the day of Christopher Columbus and back in that time frame where they were looking to leave Europe and to head into the New World and to find the trade routes to India and to go a different way. What were they doing? They were looking for hid treasure, really. And to do that, it cost a lot of money. They had to get ships and they had to get that sailors and they had to get all their provisions and went out and sometimes they wrecked their ships and they died of starvation. They got frozen in the Northwest Passage and all these things happened. Why they were so intent on getting those hid treasures, they went to great lengths to do it. God says, if you want to find, if you want to increase in learning, if you want to know more, if you really want to get wisdom, then you're going to have to look for it. You're going to have to dig into the Word of God. You're going to have to put some effort into getting it. It takes work to learn, especially to learn things of value. The question is, are we willing to put in the effort to mine some gems and nuggets from these scriptures? Because there's lots of them in there, but they're not all on the surface. Some of them we have to dig down a little bit. And read a little bit and read more of the scriptures and take more time to read it. That 2 minutes that we may spend reading our Bible in the morning is not going to get all those gems that God has for us. Will we pray and dig into our Bible seeking those gems of truth? God says if we'll put the effort in, we will be rewarded for finding. You will find them. There's lots there. There's lots of learning to be had. There's lots more things to know about God. There's lots more things to understand about His Word. And when we take the time and we study it and we find it, we go, wow, that is awesome. That is neat. That is just, it's just like a gem. It's like silver. It's like, wow, that's great. And we may have passed over that scripture many times before, just reading on the surface of it without taking some time to really prayerfully dig into it. And so the Bible says a wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels to understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. There's a definition of a wise man. There is the thought of how we increase in learning, and then there's the attaining of understanding. That's the result of our increased learning is attaining more understanding. To attain means to own or to get or to possess or to recover. And he says here to attain wise counsels, to be able to get that wisdom that we need from the Word of God. Ah, that's what God wants me to do with my life. And we've taken time to search it out in the Word of God. Increased learning means increased decision-making ability. Remember, we read that God wants to teach us in the way we should go. It's here. He says, but take some time. And if you take time to study and to increase in learning, then you will attain unto that wise counsel. You will get that understanding of the Scripture. Attaining unto wise counsel is not only for ourselves, though, is it? It's for other people. What did the Apostle Paul say to Timothy? The things which thou hast learned among me, of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. As we learn and as we understand things, and then we're able to come alongside somebody else. We're able to come alongside an Ethiopian eunuch, so to speak, and say, this is what God is trying to say to you through that scripture. This is what God wants you to understand. And we're able to help somebody else to commit to them and to teach them the things that God has for them. And to understand a proverb, he says here, and the interpretation thereof, of understanding the words of the wise and their dark sayings. Increased learning means a deeper understanding of the Bible itself. So that we take the time to read and study, and then we say, ah, that's what God was saying in that verse. Wow, that's what it was. That's what He wanted us to know as He shared that with us. What a wonderful thing it is when we prayerfully study a passage of Scripture and God gives us an understanding of it and the joy that it brings to our life. So many times we say, ah, I don't understand that. I just don't understand it, when the reality is that sometimes we just haven't tried to understand it. We haven't tried to study it to understand what God is saying. We won't understand everything the first time we read it. Don't get me wrong. There's things that God sometimes says to us, you're not ready for it yet. But keep studying, keep learning, and I'll teach you that later. But right now, I have this for you to know. And as we study and apply God's Word, God will open our understanding to it more. Ephesians 4 talks about God gave to the church apostles and teachers, prophets and pastors and teachers and so on. And it says, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, till we all come into the knowledge, the fullness of the knowledge of Christ and the unity of the faith unto a perfect man, one who's not tossed about like a child with every wind of doctrine and the sleight of man, but one who knows what they believe. But to know what we believe is going to take some studying of the Word of God so that we know that's why I stand where I stand. Because if we don't know, I guarantee there's some winds that are going to toss you around. And you're going to say, oh, wow, fall after this. No, you need to be grounded in the Word of God. And that's going to take study. It's going to take time to hear and to increase learning. It's worthwhile to study and to increase learning because God rewards that desire with understanding. And so we end the message tonight with the question we started with, do you know more than you did before? And the question is, you may have to say, I don't think I know enough more than I should know, then that ought to inspire us to say, therefore, I'm going to make some decisions in my life that I'm going to desire to be taught. I want to desire to learn. I'm going to dig into the Word of God like a person seeking silver and hid treasures. I'm going to cry out after knowledge. I'm going to ask God to give me understanding and take the time to read the Bible with that thought. See, some of the saddest words, I believe, of believers or to believers are found in Hebrews 5 verse 12, where the Bible says, for when the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. That's too bad, isn't it? That's many times in our Christian life we don't dig into God's Word like we should. We don't take the opportunities to learn it like we should. And when we've been saved for a long time frame, we don't know as much as we really could know. And where we could be in a place of ministering to other people, we are in a place where we say, can you teach me that? And there's no shame in asking to be taught. Don't get me wrong. What the Bible is saying, that there's times where we should have grown and we didn't take the opportunity, and we need somebody to teach us what we should already have had opportunity to know. And so, who is a wise man? One who increases in learning. That takes willingness to listen and taking the opportunities given you. It takes humility, work, and study. But if you're willing to put the effort in, you'll find the rewards are well worth it. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you again for this time, and we thank you for the Bible that is such a rich book with so much that it has for us. Lord, I'm sure that in eternity we'll realize how little we studied the Bible like we could have done, and how much time we spent doing a lot of other things that seemed so important that really weren't as important in retrospect. Lord, you know our lives are busy, and we live in a busy culture and a busy time. But Lord, I pray that we would take the time to study the Word of God and to apply the things that we do learn, Lord, because we know that we need to apply what we know so that you will show us more. Lord, there's no sense in you teaching us more if we're not willing to apply the things that we do know. But Lord, I pray you'd help us to be willing to do what it takes to know more of you and of your word. Lord, you are infinite and we're just finite, and so we know that there's so much more of you to know. And I'm sure eternity will be full of learning of you. But Lord, help us to learn what we can from this great book, this great treasure that you've given to us in the time frame that we have here in this life. And so as we have this time of invitation tonight and we sing our closing hymn, Lord, perhaps we need to come and pray and just rededicate ourselves to studying your word and to learning more. And Lord, to applying that learning and to using that to help others and to guide our own decisions in our own life. And Lord, we do thank you again for this time together. In Jesus' name, amen.